MoneyWeb now on The Money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Jacques Conradi, CEO at Peregrine Capital. Jacques, good to chat again. I suppose let's kick off. I mean, the first half of this year, although it's now been 7 months, it's been a tough period, and it's not really going away just yet. I mean, inflation and rates will come down in time, but that's not happening sort of anytime soon, certainly not happening in this year. Sort of opportunities, what are you looking for in the markets where you think is going to give you some outperformance?
Hi, Simon. Thanks, and great to be with you. So, look, I very much agree with you. We don't think things get back to normal in the next six months, and we think it might even be a longer period where we've got to wait to see how this inflation settles. Does the Fed get it under control by continuing to hike rates till the end of the year? There's just a lot of uncertainty around. So, in that kind of environment, we almost think firstly with the hat on of how do we protect investor money, knowing mm-hmm. that volatility will be around. Firstly, make sure that you manage the downside for investors. Just try to kind of manage if things end up being worse, and let's say we've got to push rates higher and markets get sent down, you want to be protected in that scenario. And then after you've done that, you want to kind of go from the angle of how do we kind of benefit from this kind of environment. And that's trying to find companies that will benefit from inflation that will be high, trying to find companies that can pass on pricing more easily to consumers, and generally trying to find event-driven type opportunities that's not just linked to the overall market. That's the kind of ideas we're looking for.
I want to come to one of those potential event ones in a moment. One of the big success stories of the recent year or so, and indeed your fund, has been Thungela, which when it listed, you know, everyone, you know, it's cold, it's dirty, it can't make money. We've got a green just transition coming. Fast forward, we've got almost 300 Rand share. We've got a trading update where for 6 months they're going to earn, what, call it 67 Rand a share of headline earnings per share. This has been a huge success story for those who caught it.
Yeah, look, it's certainly been much. I mean, we thought the thing was super cheap when it listed initially and was compelling, but it obviously ended up much better than we even would have thought. As you said, like they're earning 67 Rand for the 6 months, which means they kind of earned kind of every 2 months you earn 22, 23 Rand, which is around the price where we initially bought it. So you're basically earning your share price every few months, which certainly in our 24 years around, we've never seen that. So you do get to see new things in markets every now and then. So look, I think what that shows is that many people think investments is just picking the most kind of exciting or most sexy share that's got the most exciting growth. And that's not what we think investment is. We think investment is finding the companies that's most mispriced. So where you get the most for what you pay. And certainly Thungela was that kind of example. It's really old to dig coal out of the ground and burn it for power. That's been, humanity's been doing that for 150 years. But actually, it shows you just buying a share for an attractive price can generate great returns. And that's the kind of thing we're looking for in this environment, is finding really kind of mispriced opportunities. And I think Thungela specifically, the reason we liked it is it was negatively correlated with the rest of our portfolio. Basically, the longer or the worse the Russia-Ukraine situation got, the higher the coal price would likely go and the better that would be. So it protected to some extent the rest of your portfolio as well. And months where the market was down, it obviously gave us a real benefit.
I hadn't even thought of that lack of correlation. The other big school with Thungela, of course, is buying it at the 20-odd Rand in of itself is a great deal. It's the holding on. And I know from a lot of listeners out there, is, you know, they buy something for 20 and it gets to 40 or maybe 80 or 100. And the thrill of that profit and the exit, whereas it's basically only just been warming up. It's that ability to look through the price and see, you know what, it's moved, but it's still actually mispriced.
Yeah, I think it's such a vital point there. And I think, let's say, even in my own career, you look at some of the missed opportunities where you sell something early. So I think those are the lessons you try to learn, so that if you find the 10-bagger, then you don't sell it at 2x up and you try to at least hang on to some 10 times higher. Now, obviously, you have to sell some, because let's say initially if we put 2.5% in Thungela, it would have been 25% of the fund right now had we not sold any. So we've certainly sold a little bit now, but quite late on in the process, and most of the early part we just sell on. And I think a key fork in the road was for us at about 100 Rand a share. We had sold a material part of the position, and then this Russia-Ukraine war broke out. And then being willing to change our mind and say, geez, we've got new information here. This means coal prices, gas prices are probably going to go much higher. Even though the price has gone up a bit from where we sold, let's just change our minds, get back in, buy back all those shares because it looks like compelling value. And when the facts change, you've kind of got to change your mind.
Yeah, it's a key point. And looking at that chart, yeah, I mean, it was literally, I mean, back in early Feb, it was sub 100. I hadn't realized that it literally tripled in what's the last 6 months or so. Another point that you made a moment ago, which I want to come back to, is sort of you talk around the RMI, the outsurance unbundling, which is still coming, and impact where often these sort of transactions, and in truth, Thungela Coal was one of those. I mean, Anglo American basically said, yeah, we don't want it anymore. But often these transactions, particularly if they're more complex, can really offer opportunity if you sort of dig through the details and there's some great profits to be made.
100%, Simon. It's one of the areas where I think we try to differentiate ourselves from many of the larger long-only institutions is we really thrive on these complicated situations where you've got to sit down and do the work and there's potentially a new opportunity or a new share. You've got big circulars to go through. You've got to set up the work to go see management before the share lists. So you've got to really lay your foundation and do the work up front. That's how you build edge. And the moment it hits the market, you are best prepared of everyone and you can make the right decision. So I think our model is very much try to work harder than hopefully most others or anyone else being prepared for these scenarios. They're not an opportunity every single time, but through our 24 years, there's just been every year there's kind of one or two of these where you can make great opportunities by just laying the foundation, being well prepared, and then finding the mispricing when there's four sellers. Because typically these unbundlings, what happens is, let's say if we look back into Gela coming out of Anglo, it's in the hands of the wrong shareholder base. So basically everyone gets this coal share. Most European and US investors don't want to hold it for ESG reasons. So you've got a lot of four sellers, and we love buying from four sellers because they're not selling because they know more than us. They're selling because they're forced to because of their mandate or because they may be too lazy to do the work on the small holding. That's kind of the ideal setup for generating outperformance. And we want to make sure we're prepared for those. And that's also how you make money that's not necessarily just linked to the overall all share going up, where you find stock-specific ideas.
That's a great point. I remember, I'm thinking back to South 32 when it first came out, and I received it because I it was part of the distribution, and it came and it fell, and it halved in value over a number of months. I mean, this didn't happen overnight. And then since, you know, the sort of bottoming at 10 Rand, I mean, it's now a four-bagger since then. There's going to be pressure, and it's not going to be just a week. It might take weeks. It might even take months to shake itself out.
Yeah, you've got to have some real emotional fortitude for those first few weeks or months, right? Because you often feel stupid. Well, I could have bought it so much lower. Why did I buy it early? So that's when you've got to done the work. You've got to be firm on what your view is of the right valuation. And even if it gets cheaper, you just need to kind of back yourself and say, eventually the market will figure this out and see the value.
Yeah, it's so much of what we've chatted today. It's about that sitting tight as much as it is about doing the homework and knowing the valuations. We'll leave it there. Jacques Conradi, CEO, Peregrine Capital. Really appreciate the insights. Chatting with Jacques there, that's our question today on LinkedIn and Twitter. Short answer, did you catch that massive run in Thungela Resources? I mean, it came at about 20 Rand. I did, and then I was one of the sellers and sold early. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.